Views about climate change vary greatly between Presidents Obama and Trump. Before he was elected president, Donald Trump called climate change a hoax. In the Obama administration, the White House had a webpage dedicated to climate change. Now a new energy policy page on the White House website makes zero reference to climate change or global warming. We reached out to the White House to find where the administration stands on climate change and got no response. There is a major climate change conference tomorrow in Atlanta. It's at the Carter Center. But that's only because it was canceled by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC has not responded to our request for a comment on that cancellation. Georges Benjamin is the executive director of the American Public Health Association and one of the organizers of the climate change conference. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. Also with us is Peter Dykstra. He's the publisher of Environmental Health News, and he joins me by Skype from his home in Conyers. Hi there, Peter.
Hi.
So, Dr. B, why was the conference canceled at the CDC?
You know, I think basically the CDC got cold feet, you know, with the new administration coming in and people being very concerned about climate change in that administration, that if they continue to have it, that it would get canceled from under them, and people would be stuck with airline tickets and hotel rooms, and they thought they ought to just wait and see what the new administration had to say before they had a conference.
I want to just settle something right at the beginning before we continue, and that's the so-called debate over climate change, which I want to be clear is not a scientific debate. But here is then, at this point, still candidate, not yet president, Donald Trump, in an interview with the Miami Herald, and he's dismissing research behind climate change.
Many years ago, I believe it was in the 1920s, they talked about the phenomena of global cooling. They thought the planet was getting cooler. Now they think the planet is getting warmer. Nobody knows for sure. Nobody knows for sure.
Peter, nobody knows for sure. Can you answer that?
I want to speak specifically to the global cooling nonsense because that's just got to go away. I'm going to turn 60 years old next month. The possibility of global cooling was raised in the scientific community about 2 weeks before my senior prom. You know, we've been in the Beyonce and Jay-Z era. That is from the Captain and Tennille equivalent era of science. It's long been dismissed. It's a durable talking point. These things often don't die through climate denial. And it's alarming to see climate denial alive in the cabinet, in charge of House and Senate committees, and in the White House. We're the only country in that status in the world, the only one.
Okay, so why, George, why are you addressing climate change as a public health issue? How is climate change affecting health?
Yeah, it's true. Climate change is here, as you just heard. It is dramatically affecting our health. More people are having asthma attacks. Big heat waves put our health at risk. A warming environment brings vector-borne diseases closer to home than ever before. And just think about the severe storms and the number of people that have been injured or killed with the increasing frequency and severity of the storms that we're having. If it hurt people or kills people, it's ours. And that's why the public health community is concerned about climate change and our health.
Another thing that the National Climate Assessment pointed to were respiratory problems and then this possible spread of disease because of insects. What is that danger?
Well, think about it. You know, we know, for example, mosquito-borne diseases. We just spent a whole year worrying about Zika. And, of course, that's a mosquito-borne disease. And the fact that those, as the weather gets warmer and wetter, you'll have more mosquitoes. So things like West Nile virus and dengue and Zika and other mosquito-borne diseases we call vector-borne diseases are more likely to happen in those communities.
So, Peter, let me play you another comment from the president, because I assume that one of the reasons Dr. Benjamin described the CDC as getting cold feet is because it appears that the new administration under Donald Trump may be against funding any climate research. So let's hear from the new president again. This is from his interview with the Miami Herald in August.
Certainly climate has changed. You know, they used to call it global warming. They've had many different, they call it extreme weather. They always change the name to encapsulate everything. The problem we have is our businesses are suffering. Our businesses are unable to compete in this country because other countries aren't being forced to do what our businesses are being forced to do.
Okay, he makes two arguments there, Peter. Let's deal with the first one, which is his idea that they're constantly changing the name.
Climate change and global warming have been used interchangeably for a long time. It's not a conspiracy. There are different ways to define not what's going to happen, but what's already happening. And there's been an effort to paint this alleged name change as some sort of conspiracy theory. Looking at the science, that just doesn't wash. One metaphor I like to present about this is back during the days of the ill-conceived Iraq invasion and Iraq war, Dick Cheney, the vice president, put forth a theory that even if there's a 1% chance that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction, they didn't, but even if there's a 1% chance, we have to take decisive action. The denial is so deep that it seems we're denying even a 1% chance that what the vast majority of the scientific community in the world is telling us is true. And it could be extremely costly to the business community, to the general public, and to folks who live along the shoreline in places like Mar-a-Lago.
So then let me put the second half of Donald Trump's comments to you, Dr. Benjamin, because it sounds like he's saying we can't, even if climate change is a threat to public health, we can't put regulations on because that will make it impossible for our businesses to compete. What's your response to that?
If you're dead, you can't have a business. If you're sick, you can't have a business. It's nonsense. You know, first of all, the green industry, which is rapidly growing and creating jobs, is a very important component of our emerging economy. Secondly, there are many things that we can do to reduce your own individual carbon footprint. Business community, by the way, is not buying this. The business community has already adopted the fact that we need to adjust for climate change, and it's actively working in that area. But the fact of the matter is that we need to make sure that the air is safe to breathe and the water is safe to drink. Otherwise, there's really no reason to have a business because we'll be too sick in our environment.
So, Peter, let's maybe talk about what we spoke of a moment ago, which is why this was canceled at the CDC and the Carter Center had to step forward. And part of that was through the aegis of former Vice President Al Gore. I'm going to play you this comment from, it was actually a back and forth between Republican Congressman Ryan Zinke of Montana and Senator Bernie Sanders. Ryan Zinke is now the nominee to be Interior Secretary, and it sounds as though he is breaking ranks with Donald Trump. Here's that exchange.
I don't believe it's a hoax. I believe we should.
You do not believe it's a hoax.
No, I believe we should be prudent to be prudent. That means I don't know definitively. There's a lot of debate on both sides of the aisle.
Well, actually, there's not a whole lot of debate now. The scientific community is virtually unanimous that climate change is real.
But, Peter, what kind of fear is there among the scientific community that there could be censorship, especially in light of some of the ways in which federal scientists have been silenced or at least threatened with silence in the past few weeks?
Well, and web pages have disappeared. Climate scientists being threatened or harassed or sued or Freedom of Information Act requested within an inch of their lives is nothing new. This has been going on for a long time. I don't think folks are aware of just exactly how much political, ideological, possibly financial pressure the science community is under for just doing its job on these issues. And by the way, the Carter Center conference, the folks I work for, weren't all that interested in covering it. They only asked me to go attend and report on the conference after the CDC backed out. So I think the tactic of backing out of this conference may backfire.
Let me put the same question then to you, Dr. Benjamin. Do you feel as though there is a fear among the scientific community that there could be backlash for this kind of research?
Yes, the fear is there. But, you know, one of the things that you know when you've been in public health and as long as I have is that fearing something doesn't mean that the problems aren't going to go away. Bad news does not get better with time. So a warming environment, the fact that we have emerging infectious diseases, the fact that we have severe weather is going to be here even if we pretend that climate change doesn't exist and is here today. And we're going to have to respond to it. So no matter what you call it, whether you have to call it emergency response to severe weather or emergency response to emerging infectious diseases, Climate change certainly is here, and we're going to have to respond. And by the way, this administration, as if they're serious about protecting the health and well-being of the American people, don't have to worry about little terrorists coming into the country, because Mother Nature, Father Nature is a terrible terrorist, and we're seeing that with climate change.
Well, Peter, is there a possibility that this is just part of the transition of a regular administration, that some of these fears may be unfounded, and that, in fact, there won't be censorship of scientists and things will move forward as they have been for the past decade?
As Dr. Benjamin said, there's a lot happening in the business community and with clean energy that will be beyond the grasp of this administration. But I don't see much doubt, and I don't see much hope that this administration gets the message. If this were a year back and I had told you that the CEO of ExxonMobil, a 41-year career Exxon employee, who presided over a company that funded pseudoscience and climate denial, was going to be our Secretary of State. I don't think you would have taken me seriously, first of all, but that certainly doesn't present a picture of hope that the United States is going to join the rest of the world community in being serious about climate change.
Dr. Benjamin, do scientists need the U.S. government? Can this research, especially into climate change as a public health threat, move forward regardless of what the Trump administration decides?
Well, it's best to have the federal government as a partner here. They're obviously a major funding source, and some of the best scientists in the world are in the federal government. There's Department of Defense agencies that are doing climate change research because they have to do that in order to defend this country. So this is not something that they can put their head in the sand and pretend is not going to happen. They're going to have to be involved in climate change, whether they like it or not.
That is Georges Benjamin of the American Public Health Association. He will be the keynote speaker at a climate change conference tomorrow at the Carter Center. And we also heard from Peter Dykstra of Environmental Health News. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.